Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9. Today's text is 12. Yes, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. So, Chaktua Yashtim Sutam Bhitam Vigyayarpaka Vatsala Yesha Kila Tam Badhum Damnatad Virya Kovida Tyaktva Yashting Satang Bhitam Vigyayar Pakakvatsala Yesha Kila Tang Badhum Damna Tad Virya Kovida Tyaktva Yashting Satang Bhitam Vigya yar paka vatsala Yesha kila tang padhum Damna tad birya kovida Chaktva yashting sitang bhitam Vigya yar paka vatsala Yesha kila tang padhum Damna tad virya kovida. Please chant. Tyaktva yashting sitang bhita. Chaktva yashting sitang bhitam Vigyayar pakasvatsala Yesha kila tambadhum Natad virakovina Chaktva yashting sitang bhitam Vigyayar pakasvatsala Yesha kilatang badha Damna tad viyakovida. Vaishnavins. Chaktva yashting sitang bhita Vignayar bhakavatsala Yesha kilatang badha Namna tad virya kovida. Chaktva yashting sitang bhitam Vigyayar bhakavatsala Yesha kilatang badham Namna tad virya kovida. So synonyms for this verse, Chaktva, throwing away, Yashtim, the stick in her hand, Sutam, her son, Bhitam, considering her son's great fear, Vigyaya, understanding, Arbhakavatsala, the most affectionate mother of Krishna. Yesha desired. Kila, indeed. Tam, Krishna. Badhum, to bind. Dhamna, with a rope. Atat birya kovida, without knowledge of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, because of intense love for Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. Please repeat. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. So the Prophet's purport. Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna not in order to chastise him, but because she thought that the child was so restless that he might leave the house in fear. That would be another disturbance. Therefore, because of full affection to stop Krishna from leaving the house, she wanted to bind him with rope. Mother Yashoda wanted to impress upon Krishna that since he was afraid merely to see her stick, he should not perform such disturbing activities as breaking the container of yogurt and butter and distributing its contents to the monkeys. Mother Yashoda did not care to understand who Krishna was and how his power spreads everywhere. This is an example of pure love for Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamini. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitadeshtarni Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Yatapadakamanam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tang Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Panarami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, who's speaking here? Who's speaking? Shukadeva Goswami. Interestingly, Shukadeva Goswami, we know, is quintessential renunciant. So renounced, he didn't even want to come out of the womb. According to some variations, he stayed in the womb for 12 years, others say 16 years, but either way, it's a long time. Normally, the child stays in the womb for how long? 9 months, 10 months, some say. So just whether it's 12 years or 16 years, that's a long time. And his motivation was that he did not want to be affected by the Lord's illusory energy. Yet, we see, or we hear, earlier he's describing Mother Yashoda's figure, full breasts, overburdening her thin waist and her broad hips, and at other stages throughout the Bhagavatam, he's describing in detail what women look like. So that doesn't sound like what a renunciate should do. You see? It seems incongruous. He's extremely renounced, but at the same time, he's describing in detail the female form. Doesn't seem to go together. But he's not an ordinary personality. This was established way back in the first canto, chapter 4, Appearance of Sri Narada. There's a nice verse there. It says, Tasya putra mahayogi samadharin nilvrikalpakai ekanta matir unidro guda mura iveyate. Tasya putra is talking about Vyasadeva. It says his son, Tasya putra mahayogi, was a great, Prabhupada describes or translates it there, not as a great yogi, but as a great devotee. So devotees are naturally great yogis. It's not incongruous. It's not mistranslation. Sometimes the technical Sanskritists, when they read Prabhupada's translations, they say, that's not exactly what it says there. Prabhupada is in touch with Krishna. He knows exactly what Krishna wants him to say. So if he translates Mahayogi as great devotee, that's the meaning that Krishna wants to get across to us. Now, Tasya Putra, he's the son of Vyasadeva. Does Vyasadeva have any other sons? I see some shaking their heads no, and others are saying yes. Does Vyasadeva have any other sons? Well, what are their names? Give me a name, or two or three. Yes. Yes. What about Bhishma Dev? Is he a son of Vyasadeva? Yes? No? No, he's not. Okay. So, Bhishma Dev, although he's considered a grandsire of this line, the Kauravas, he was not sired by Vyasadeva. He was sired by? No, not Shantanu. Who was he sired by? Yes? You sure? You sure? Yes, okay. So, later on, Bhishma Dev took a great vow not to marry. Therefore, the line was about to disappear. To have a royal line continue, you have to have sons. Although we hear from time to time of queen this and queen that, generally speaking, the line came down patrilinear. So then, who called for Vyasadeva? Yes, Satyavati. She called for Vyasadeva because the elder son, Vichitravirya, had been... Yes, he had a disease, like tuberculosis, something like that. So he passed away, could not sire a son. And then the other son, Chichangada, what happened to him? He was killed by a Gandharva of the same name, Chichangada. These histories we're supposed to know. These are the histories specifically written by Lord Srila Vyasadeva to keep our minds concentrated on these great personalities leading up to Lord Krishna's appearance, which we're hearing about here. So then Vyasadeva was called in and he sired how many sons? Three sons. And their names are the first one, who was born blind because... Yes. Vyasadeva was coming straight from the forest with his matted dreadlocks and was not necessarily, you know, up to the standard of, you'd say, a gentleman of the royal court. So she was a little bit shocked. She closed her eyes. So Dhritarashtra was born blind. And what was her name? Amba. So then Vyasadeva was called again by Satyavati. This is not going to work. You can't have a blind king. The king has to have all senses functioning. So then in the second wife, he produced whom? Pandu. And what was the problem with Pandu? Pale. And why was he pale? His mother went pale when she saw Vyasadeva. She blanched. As they say in English. So a third time, he was called. Now here's a great sage, Vyasadeva, Shaktivesha avatar of the Lord, living in the forest, simply concentrating on producing the Vedic literature. But when his mother calls him, she just has to call and he comes and immediately appears. In other words, not an ordinary personality. So for the third time, he tried to get the right offspring so the line could go on. And then what happened the third time? What happened the third time? Yes, the queen, she took a look at him and said, I cannot lie down with this personality. So she sent her a maidservant instead, and from that maidservant was produced Vidura. So this is the background. That Shukadeva Goswami has brothers. He's not a lone child. So in this verse it states that he's a great yogi who was equipoised and his mind was fixed in monism. Although Tasyaputra Mahayogin Samarin Nirvakavka Ekantamati Unnidro Guru Kapata Guru Kapata Iveyate. So although, because he was inexperienced, remember he took birth, literally left home with no samskaras, he just took off. So, and walked naked throughout so many provinces before he came to the site where he spoke to Maharishi Parikshit. So he seemed to be inexperienced, foolish. Ordinary people thought he was just a foolish, probably crazy person. So all these women and children were following him and making fun of him. All the way up to the, he came to the spot on the banks of the Ganges where he was to speak to Maharishi Parikshit. Then they saw that all these great sages stood up to greet him and then they ran away. See, they ran away. So, he's not an ordinary personality. None of us would dare to sit on a Vyasasan naked. I don't care how great a Maharaj or whatever you are. Even if somebody of his age, he was about 16 years old, they say at the time, even if somebody of that age were to sit on this Vyasasan. But then why is he considered such a great soul? How was it recognized immediately? When he was leaving home, he passed a river where the ladies were taking bath and they didn't bother to clothe themselves when they saw him because they could see in his personality that he was not attracted in any way. Whereas when Vyasadeva, who was chasing after him, came, they immediately covered up. So he asked them, my son just passed. You didn't cover yourselves and here I am. And after all, he's a Shaktivedanta, a great person. So why did you cover up? And they explained, you're a householder. You have to make distinction between man and woman. We could see that your son did not make any such distinction. So this is why he's qualified to speak, to discuss, to describe in detail the female form, because he is not agitated. He's not attracted to the female form. He's not agitated at all. Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, 144, that Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul, and yet he was very attentive not to be attracted by the material energy. So what to speak of those of us, some of you are already liberated great souls here, but those who are not yet liberated, how attentive do we have to be to not be attracted by the material energy? Because this is our problem since time immemorial. Since time immemorial, we've taken shelter of Krishna's external energy who keeps dangling before us the same allurements, boga aishwarya prasakta, sense gratification in the form of wealth, sex life, she's dangling since time immemorial, and lifetime after lifetime we take birth, and we think we've figured it out. I want to be happy, and what do I do to be happy? I chase after this allurement of money and sex life. But great souls, like Shukadeva Goswami, they are transcendental to that. They are so attracted by Krishna, they are tasting such rasa, such taste from serving Krishna, that they are not attracted by Krishna's external energy. Mother Yashoda is completely fixed on Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. That doesn't mean that she's not seeing every other manifestation. It's not that she's mistaking Nanda Maharaj for Krishna, or her servants for Krishna, or the cows for Krishna. She's still seeing cows and servants and Nanda Maharaj and all the other members of the village, but everything is in relation to Krishna. Everything is in relation to Krishna. The cows are to be milked so that milk can be used in Krishna's service. Nanda Maharaj is Krishna's father. and he's providing and taking care of the house so that Krishna will have a comfortable environment to grow up in. The maidservants are helping her to serve Krishna. Everything is in relation to Krishna. So she never forgets Krishna even for a moment. Now in today's verse, the specific scene being described, that she had been chasing Krishna with a stick, but then she threw the stick away. So Prabhupada, if we read his translation, he weaves in the pertinent points from the predecessor charyas. Now, by the grace of modern technology, anybody has access practically to the acharya's commentaries. Previously, you had to be a Sanskrit scholar to approach the works of the predecessor acharyas, but now practically everything's been translated and it's available online. You can just Google Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or whatever, and everything is there. So everybody sounds like a great scholar because they're always citing this acharya and that acharya. But it goes beyond just repeating what the acharyas say. To get realization, one has to have the mercy of the predecessor acharyas. And that's why Prabhupada stressed that you cannot jump over the immediate link in the chain. Once one of Prabhupada's disciples told Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, my favorite author is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada said, no, I am your favorite author. You cannot jump over the immediate link in the chain and establish some relationship. And this is where the rhythmic philosophy falls down. Why stop with Prabhupada? Some people think they can take rhythmic initiation from Prabhupada. But why stop there? Why not go to Rupa Goswami? Why don't I just sit down in front of a painting of Rupa Goswami and say, please initiate me? Okay, I'm initiated by Rupa Goswami. You cannot do that. It's impersonalism. Because it takes away the potential for the guru to reject you, to not accept you, which is always there when you're dealing with a live person. You may approach, just like this Ekalavya, approach Dronacharya for initiation. He said no. It's not that everybody that approaches the guru is accepted. So if you accept this rhythmic philosophy, that means the guru does not have a chance to reject you. And quite frankly, many of us are rejectable. It's out of mercy that the guru accepts such fallen cases. But if you accept the rhythmic philosophy, then the guru doesn't have the opportunity to say no. That's impersonalism. Then you're not dealing with a person anymore. You're just dealing with a concept. And that's not our line. Our line, nirvishesha shunyavadi. We're here following in Prabhupada's footsteps to help him kick out impersonalism. Voidism. Not that we are promoting impersonalism by this rhythmic philosophy. That does not fly. You cannot do that. Otherwise, again, why stop with Prabhupada? Why not say, well, you know, I really like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why don't I get him to initiate me? Or Rupa Goswami or Lord Chaitanya himself. Why take any of his followers? Why don't I just bow down in front of Lord Chaitanya and say, please initiate me? You see? He has initiated by sending his descending acharyas to initiate their generation, and then the next generation continues the line like that. That's how it continues. That's how Lord Chaitanya accepts us, through the chain of disciplic succession, not directly. Prabhupada stressed this point. Don't be impudent. Don't jump over. So, if we read the commentaries of the acharyas on today's verse, we'll see there may be some additional information there. But in general, our presentation is what Prabhupada has gleaned and has given us. And if we're so advanced that we want more information, generally speaking, these discussions should happen in between advanced devotees. And this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and frankly, even up to Lord Chaitanya. We see Lord Chaitanya did not have discussions on deep meanings of verses with the ordinary people in general. He never did that. For the ordinary people, it's prasadam distribution and harinam. And only with his inner circle would he get into deep. He's God himself. He knows everything. But he would allow his intimate followers, like Ramananda Roy, to recite Gopi Gita and other intimate scriptures, and he would go into ecstasy hearing them. He already knows them. It's not like Lord Chaitanya is learning from Ramananda Roy or anybody. But just to set the example that these higher topics, deeper topics, are to be discussed amongst advanced personalities, not even ordinary devotees. Ordinary devotees who are still attracted to what Maya is dangling, money and sex life. No. You work hard, Prabhupada said, working samadhi, work hard to please your guru. And what is the guru asking? Go out and insert books, go out and chant the holy names, imbibe this philosophy and try to live this philosophy. When you're tasting the nectar, when you're feeling relief from Maya's, the misery that Maya inflicts on everybody here, then you naturally want to share with others. You don't have to be pushed anymore to go out and preach. So, but having said that, the Acharya's commentary on today's verse does indicate that there was a conversation taking place. How old is Krishna at this point? What is Krishna's age? Nobody has any idea? He's still being breastfed. Right? He was beating from his mother's breast. She put him down and went to... Now, according to modern pediatricians, children should be breastfed up until 6 months. Nothing but breast milk. And then for the next 6 months, solid food could be there, but the breast milk should also continue. And then after 1 year, okay, I think that's enough. In some cultures, they'll keep breastfeeding until the child doesn't want anymore. Sometimes it means 2, 3, up to 4 years old. Sometimes they're still breastfeeding. This is previous culture. Again, according to the Acharyas, their commentary on today's verse, Krishna had a conversation with Mother Yashoda. He's speaking to her. He said, "Don't hit me with that stick." So that's a pretty advanced thing. Again, modern pediatricians say that by 18 months, children should have a vocabulary of about minimum 20 words. And by 2 years old, minimum 50, and they should start putting words together into sentences like baby crying or daddy's mad or something like that. Starting to put words together by age 2. Not to speak of by age 4, they should be pretty fluent. And we've had some phenomenal cases here in New Dorka. Many of you may remember Kukudmi's son, Nimai. By the time he was 4, he knew everybody's name in the community, and he knew their characteristics. He wasn't speaking English so fluently yet at this point. He was still speaking mostly Croatian. But his father would ask him, or those of us who knew a little Croatian, would say, Kako se vas? And Nimai would respond, Haribol, Haribol, because Savas likes to say Haribol to him. So, you know, you'd ask him, what does Sri Sachi say? And then he would tell you, because he would study everybody. By age 4, he already studied everybody in the community, and he knew their characteristics, what they would normally say. So that's kind of advanced for a 4-year-old. But at least they should have a pretty decent vocabulary by age 4. Now here, Krishna, according to Acharyas, he's speaking to Yashoda. She's coming at him with a stick. He says, "Don't hit me." And then she says, as Prabhupada points out here, that she threw the stick away. She wasn't going to hit him. That was not her purpose. She just wanted to scare him to stop being naughty. But when she saw that he was too scared, and he asked her, "Don't hit me," she threw the stick away. So then, how to punish him? Again, not so much out of punishment, but as is pointed out here, that she did not want him to, out of fear or other things, run away from home. So she desired to bind him. Now the point here of pointing out that she did not realize or recognize that he was as powerful as he is because you cannot bind Krishna. Krishna cannot be bound. The Acharyas point out that any rope or anything that's within the material energy cannot bind the source of the material energy. You cannot use a rope that's in the material world to bind the source of the material world and the spiritual world and everything that is. It's not possible. So the only way that he can be bound is if he agrees to be bound. He agrees to be bound. And therefore we have the whole Damodar pastime. So, we don't have to, it's not necessary, to... in normal situations, speaking from the Bhagavad Gita, speaking from the Bhagavatam, to go into too much finer detail that's there. It's available that we can discuss amongst ourselves, but we follow Prabhupada's precedence in preaching. Prabhupada spoke on practically every day. Prabhupada gave at least one class, and he never delved into too deeply into esoteric subject matter. Never did. Privately, he may give a little more information, but publicly, he kept it very much on the realm of philosophy, very much in that realm. And even when something was mentioned, just like Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda. If you hear Prabhupada on tape, he said, Gita Govinda is the subject matter of Krishna and about Radharani. Bas. He doesn't go any further in public about what is the subject matter of Gita Govinda. It's very, very deep subject matter, very intimate subject matter of Krishna and Radharani pastime, but Prabhupada didn't go into that. So that's not our mood following in his footsteps. And following Prabhupada's footsteps, we should learn as much as possible, as deeply as possible, possibly, the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and present that so that people will have the impetus to take the Krishna consciousness to solve all of their problems, material and spiritual. Ultimately, there are no material solutions to material problems, only spiritual solutions. So if we take wholeheartedly to the recommendations of the scripture as given to us by scripture personified, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, then all problems are solved. All material problems are solved, all economic problems are solved. Everything is solved. So just to finish up, we have Prabhupada's next devotion, and in there Prabhupada gives enough additional detail that he wanted to give on any of the topics from the he quoted extensively from the 10th canto in his presentation of Nectar of Devotion. So I just wanted to read one thing that's related to this. Let's see if I can find it quickly here. Okay, yeah. This is in the chapter 4, Devotional Service Surpasses All Liberation. So Krishna, Rupa Goswami cites Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava that my pure devotees are so absorbed in serving me that they don't even desire liberation. And then there's another example given of Lord Shiva speaking to Parvati about Markandeya Muni, that he's so absorbed in meditation on Krishna that he doesn't even want to leave this material world. And then comes this section that I'm just going to read briefly. So it says, similarly, there is a statement in Padma Purana describing the ritualistic function during the month of Karti, October, November. During this month in Vrindavan, it is the regulative principle to pray daily to Lord Krishna in his Damodar form. The Damodar form refers to Krishna in his childhood when he was tied up with rope by his mother, Yashoda. Dama means ropes and Udara means the abdomen. So Mother Yashoda, being very disturbed by naughty Krishna, bound him round the abdomen with a rope, and thus Krishna is named Damodar. During the month of Kartika, Damodar is prayed to as follows, quote, my dear Lord, you are the Lord of all, the giver of all benedictions. End of quote. There are many demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva who sometimes offer benedictions, this is Prabhupada commenting now, to their respective devotees. For example, Ravana was blessed with many benedictions by Lord Shiva, and Hiranyakashipu was blessed by Lord Brahma. But even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma depend upon the benedictions of Lord Krishna, and therefore, Krishna is addressed as the Lord of all benefactors. As such, Lord Krishna can offer his devotees anything they want. But still, the devotee's prayer continues. Quote, I do not ask you for liberation or any material facility up to the point of liberation. What I want as your favor is that I may always think of your form in which I see you now as Damodar. You are so beautiful and attractive that my mind does not want anything besides this wonderful form. So while we're hearing this description Shukadeva Goswami is giving of Krishna in the 10th canto, this should be our mood. And we want to absorb our minds in this beautiful scene that's described in the beauty of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna's devotees, Mother Yashoda, the whole scene. Absorb ourselves in that. And if we do that, and if we please our predecessor acharyas, beginning with our immediate guru and on up through the chain, then by their mercy, by their blessings, we will get to the point like this where we don't even desire liberation. Want to speak of anything that Maya is dangling here. Money and sex life, all of that becomes like completely insignificant. So we can stop here. Any questions, any comments? Yes, Neela Madhava.
session, they understand. Also, you know, like those that practice along with coming in the line of disciplic succession, mundane scholars outside, they don't practice. They hypothetically can read, but because they don't practice any of the philosophy practically in their life, you know, they're not bhakta, so they can't understand. And also, mentioning how, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee is the topmost yogi, because that's the conclusion of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, yogi namapi sarvesham. You know, Krishna says that. And also the topmost jnani as well. There was another verse, jnana dipena bhashrita. I'm forgetting the verse, but
So that's your homework today.
So, you know, if you're a bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, then you're complete in knowledge and complete in yoga perfection as well. You know, that's.
But we start out, those of us who were not born pure devotees, we start out and we start practicing mixed devotional service. Jnana Misha Bhakti, Yoga Misha Bhakti, Karma Misha Bhakti. So sometimes we are enamored by Jnana. But we have to be very careful not to present the knowledge that we're receiving as if it's coming from us. Sometimes devotees do that. They sit on the Vyasa-san, like big pundit. Where are you getting that knowledge from? You see, you didn't manufacture that. Whatever knowledge you're regurgitating from the Vyasa-san, you got from somebody. So the devotee's mood is to acknowledge that. I am presenting to you, my audience, what I have learned from my spiritual master and the predecessor of Charles. It's not coming from me, and therefore no glory goes to me. And whatever glory you give me anyway, I'm passing on immediately to my predecessor acharyas, because they're the ones that deserve it. And in that way, the devotee remains humble. Otherwise, we have the phenomenon that we do in our society sometimes of people becoming such big pundit that they travel around to speak and they're expecting bakshish. And if they speak and nobody comes and gives them money, they're disappointed. But that's not Prabhupada's mood. That's not why we repeat this philosophy. We don't travel around to speak to make money. That's not it. Prabhupada emphatically stated that we should not do that. So it's not just the Bhagavad Saptaha readers that he's talking about. Those who openly, professionally speak Bhagavatam for 7 days and they want money like anything. Not just them, but even within our society. We're not traveling preachers to make money. We travel and speak on the order of our spiritual master, Lee, going all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. We speak this philosophy not for any self-aggrandizement, but to benefit the audience, you see, and ourselves by hearing this philosophy over and over and over again. How many times did Prabhupada repeat the verses from the Bhagavad Gita? You see? To impress upon us that we preach for the benefit of the public and for ourselves. That's why Prabhupada always say, find out this verse. If he was preaching to somebody and there was no Bhagavad Gita there, find out this person would have to run and find the Gita, and Prabhupada would give one word and they would have to look it up to press upon us. You learn this book, you learn this Gita to preach for the benefit of people, not for money. So sometimes, again, we've seen this is leaking into our society. We all these Twitter on the, you know, internet, also big pundit preachers coming, and then everybody, line up your checkbook. That's not the reason why we preach. Yes, it is the custom in Vedic culture to give something to sadhus. Not necessarily money, you know, cloth, whatever, something of value, out of appreciation. But that's not, should not be the motivation of the sadhu. Shukadeva Goswami did not go to the bank of the Ganges to sit down and then after speaking Bhagavatam to collect from everybody that was there, give me something. No, that's not the mood. Okay? Someone else? Anybody else have a point? Yes? Aditi, did you put your hand up? Oh, okay.
Prabhuji, could I just ask, you know, you were talking about preaching. What about professional kirtan singers? I was hearing one person, he was telling me that I go where I'm paid, you know. And
absolutely, you know, not Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada stated emphatically, when we go out to preach, we don't go out to impress people with our musicianship. The audience should be left with an impression of devotion to Krishna. That's what people should be impressed by. Not necessarily, yes, it's nice if you're a very good musician, don't get me wrong. And if you have musical skills, what better place to use them than in Christian service? And Prabhupada, before he sent those three couples to London, test your knowledge again. Who are the three couples? Gurdas and? Yes. And then? Mukunda and Janaki? Malati and Shyamasundar. Yes, Malati and Shyamasundar. So before he sent them, he trained them how to play the cards nicely, how to... Everything nice, should be nice presentation. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is to leave the audience with an impression of devotion to Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada stopped. We used to have these kirtan competitions in Mayapur festival. And I was there in 76 when Prabhupada put an end to it. He said, no more. They were bringing on all these, you know, professional kirtanis from all over Bengal to come to our Mayapur festival. And these guys were good. You can't play mridanga, tablas and chant like they could. But the devotion is not there. It's just a competition to get name, fame, and money, and Prabhupada was not into that. All right, I think we should stop here. It's starting after. Gratulations, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Archita Prabhu Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.